It's Amifaku, Ubuhle Bakho. This is such a beautiful song. Yo, it's such a beautiful song. So we've got Sepo, Sifotlelo from the Gender-Based Violence Response Fund, which was launched by the president in 2021. And this fund is there to try and tackle gender-based violence in the country. And of course, some of their focus is on schools. Good morning, Sepo. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bongani.
Sepo, just from listening to the conversations around specifically violence at schools, I mean, if you look at the stats between 2020 and 2021, 160 of the sexual misconducts involved teachers. Where do you think we went wrong to get here?
Sure, but you know, I wish we had more than the time that's been allocated, right? Because it's really it's various issues, right? It's a socioeconomic issue. It's our unfortunate history of South Africa, where there's violence. It's mental wellness. It's emotional immaturity. It's a system that's not really working. That's geared at supporting our kids, right? And the unfortunate part is, you know, when teachers have molested children, or you know, they sometimes what happens, or too often what happens actually, is that teacher resigns from this school and moves to another school. I remember a case a couple of years ago where a water polo coach, right, was back in Australia for molesting kids, and this was a South African teacher who was doing the same thing in South Africa. So we often talk about zero tolerance, right? But unfortunately, our actions and the way that we implement things, it's anything but zero tolerance. So that is the most unfortunate part.
I mean, I'm looking at the numbers. The numbers are scary. Over 90,000 yes. kids fell pregnant from as young as the age of 10. Are there conversations that you think maybe us as parents can have with our kids to try and assist the teachers? Because I also feel like the teachers themselves sometimes are overwhelmed.
And you know, Bongani, the key word here is conversations, right? The unfortunate part is we don't have those conversations. I mean, for example, you should start having conversations with your children, particularly the girl child, as early as possible to say, look, if somebody touches you in this particular way, it actually isn't inappropriate, and you need to feel comfortable to come to me, to your mother, or even report it at school, you know, but obviously tell somebody that's going to do something. And when that child does report that issue, you know, you need to create a safe space where they feel safe to be able to be that vulnerable and tell us what is happening. But what we also see is that whenever somebody reports an issue of sexual impropriety or violence or even rape, the first point of call, whether it's at the home or anywhere else in society, is to keep it quiet. You know, let's not embarrass the family. Let's manage it ourselves. You know, let's see what we can do. And unfortunately, what we need to start doing is we need to start being loud about this. If you look at all the challenges that South Africa has, right, whether it be jobs, whether it be issues of food security, the economy, we talk about all these issues every single day, but here we've got an issue of violence at our schools, violence against our women, of rape, of femicide. We also need to start talking about this issue with a higher frequency, right? It shouldn't be only saved for 16 days of activism, because it's happening every single day. We know that today, unfortunately, there's going to be violence on the school ground, or somebody is going to impregnate a child. But fortunately, what we know, and I commend the Department of Basic Education, that have said, you know, if a child that's a minor is pregnant, then the father will be arrested and prosecuted. So we need to make sure that we enforce that, we implement it, and if a teacher is found to be doing such things, they shouldn't be going near children. They actually need to be named and shamed, because that's a desperate situation that we're facing right now.
And while you're speaking about the Department of Basic Education, I mean, in higher education itself, we see two female vice chancellors, you know, Professor Ulenka Bula and Professor Mutwa, who have joined forces to fight against gender-based violence, which mostly occurs in these higher education spaces. Do you think enough is done in higher education to tackle GBV?
I think generally when it comes to tackling gender-based violence, not really enough is being done. But what is good is, I mean, the fact that the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Response Fund has been formed, you are seeing the private sector that's really stepping up and saying, guys, we do have a problem in this country, and if we do not solve it, you know, it's going to eat away at society because it already is. It's now rife at schools and at institutions of higher learning. But what is fortunate to report is that those institutions of higher learning have strategies in place to start dealing with gender-based violence and femicide on their universities. But we know, as I said, you know, it's going to take time, because as much as we do care and look after survivor victims and turning them into survivors, we also need to have preventive measures, and that is things that are happening on campus, and it's also happening at all facets. But we need to do significantly more. Like as I said, yeah. You know, this is an issue that we need to start talking about, debating about, and really shining a brighter and a very bright light on it, because we are not winning at the moment.
Yeah, tell us about the GBV Response Fund. Is it effective? How do I get through to it if I'm someone who's working in the GBV space anyway in South Africa?
Yeah, so as you rightfully said, the fund was launched in 2021 in February by the president. In June, what we do is we send out a request for proposals. We will say we are looking for community-based organizations to do this amount of work that is fighting gender-based violence on the ground. And the work that you do should respond to the six pillars that are in the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence. So once you've put in your proposal, you go through a vetting process. And then through that voting process, if you are selected, you will then get funding. But we also, there are also special projects, for example, that we fund as well. For example, there's a program that was launched last year called What About the Girls, which is a program aimed at high school boys to teach them to move away from toxic masculinity, right? Because we know that toxic masculinity is one of the things that causes males to perpetrate violence against women and children. So that's how the fund works. Currently, we know that we are working towards releasing a request for proposal 2, and then that will be obviously advertised wide. It will be available in all of the official 11 languages, and hopefully we can fund more and more. Currently, we are funding 108 community-based organizations and 4 intermediaries who are really chaperoning and giving guidance to an additional 54 community-based organizations nationally. And these community-based organizations are working in 45 gender-based violence hotspots, in a lot of informal settlements in rural South Africa, because we know that this is where the need is dire because of lack of resources.
Tepo, because of time, we're going to need to leave it there. Thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
Thanks,
Madam. That's Tepo Sefotlelo from the Gender-Based Violence Response Fund, which was launched by the president in 2021. Listen, it's 7 o'clock. Outro and so got of their way to try and save you money on your conscience.